Okay, in Kuf Yedalid, the name of Simi Kuf Yedalid is Mishaych Harakum. And as we've seen, the first three Sifim discussed the limited gezeira of drinking beer of a guy only in the house of a guy. As I mentioned last week, Sif Dalid begins what are basically Hilchis Hechsherim. These are things that you have to know. If someone goes to be a Rav HaMachshir or somebody is in an organization that gives Hechsherim, what you need to learn is this simin from Sif Dalid. Sif Dalid and Hay present two extraordinary kulas in Kashrus. Sif Dalid was that you can use an umdina to verify or to rely on the kashrus of a product. As I mentioned to you, in Chutz La'aretz, there are very few things that are not kosher. I mean, very many, but very few sources. The source of non-kosher food is either a trefa animal, whether it's a non-kosher species or a nevela, trefa, is an animal product, and grape products. Those are the two non-kosher items in Chutz La'aretz. Now, Yisrael is much more complicated because of the halachas of Trumas and Maisris and Safik Arla and different halachas. But in Chutz La'aretz, if you can verify that something has no meat product, meat derivative, and no grape derivative, then it's kosher. Of course, that's to be made in Kalim that are kosher, don't have a meat derivative or grape derivative. In Sif Dalid, which you learned last week, it said a chiddush that you can rely on an umdina if wine is more expensive than beer, that they wouldn't add wine to the beer, they'd rather add beer to the beer for the same, make more money. And not only that, even in a place where it's profitable to add wine to beer, it's only beer that's sold fresh. Beer that's stored in a chavis, the wine spoils, and therefore you have a right to assume that there's no wine. So basically, Sif Dalid said that you can rely on an umdina, and as I mentioned, this is what Hechsher rely on, or those involved in kashrus rely on, to be machshir things like a beer without a hechsher, or certain schnapps without a hechsher, or a multitude of what we call group A items, such as roasted nuts and granulated sugar and products, which is no logical reason that anybody would make treif. So those group A products are assumed to be kosher, and you're allowed to rely on an umdina because of the because this is the halacha. The halacha is that an umdina is a psak halacha for kashrus.
Vegan only restaurant,
you still have a problem. I mentioned only meat and grape. I should mention Bishul Akum also. In a vegan restaurant, things that are not eaten raw, that are cooked, certain types of plant or vegetable products that are not eaten raw, that are cooked, assuming that Oil Shulchan Malachim, they will be served at a significant meal. So there is a Bishul Akum potential problem as well. But then checking for bugs. Bugs are not kosher. Yeah.
Roasted almonds, not made from oil? No oil?
It's dry.
Regular roasted almonds are not roasted in oil. They're not oily. That's what I'm told.
The Impossible Burger.
No.
The Impossible Burger. If it's made from plant, then it only has a problem with Bishul Akum. It has to be... I assume it's not eaten raw. I have no idea. Impossible burger. I have no idea. I understand it's the in thing today. So, I don't know if it is. You have one? It's worth it? It's excellent, really? Okay. It's a burger, a power of a burger. The whole goal is to be power of. Why do I even care to be power of?
It looks like a burger.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I have no problem with it. I said, hey. Yeah, Rebelsky, I read to you that Rebelsky said years ago that they would never serve this stuff at Shulchan Malachim. that the stuff that's imitation is cheaper and it's not oil shulchan malachim. This is not cheaper. This is more expensive and it's chashuv. Why is it chashuv? It all has to do with the hype and the press coverage. And Rabowski wrote that. He wrote that imitation things you wouldn't serve oil shulchan malachim. It may be healthier. Today they feel that meat is not a healthy thing to eat. I am certain that yet in our lifetime they'll turn around and say that people need more meat, that our meats are too low and our diets are too low in red meat, and they'll tell everyone to have more red meat. That's the Dr. Shalom. It's definitely going to swing back. If the well, it depends what they would serve. It has to be, you mean this super burger they would serve. All right, could be. Sif Hei, which I believe we started last week, is a second and very important kula. The kula of Uman Leimara Nafshe. There's a kula that a professional merchant or somebody who produces products doesn't want a bad rap, doesn't want a bad reputation, and therefore he will be truthful. Now, the question is whether we could rely on such an umdana, uman lay marinashe, that an uman wouldn't lie. Now, there's no question that if you make a phone call and they tell you something, that's not reliable. The question is, they put it down on paper, they send you a letter or an email stating that there are no meat products in the item, whether that's something that a person is allowed to rely on. Is that good enough? Because Uman Leimaranafshe, who wants the bad press of coming out and saying something and then being caught misleading the public. So what? Illegal. Well, I don't know how fearful they are of the legal consequences, but certainly let's first talk about what it talks about here, the Leimaranafshe. Yeah, companies change their ingredients, so we're going to have to know. I would assume if a company is making a product for 25 years a certain way, that you have a right to assume. If they just send you a letter today, maybe not. Right, but let's see. Let's learn what it says here. It has to be learned very carefully. Yayin Rimayim Shemeichel Rafuah. We started this last week. The Yayin Rimayim was mentioned in Sif Gimel too. Pomegranate juice, which is sold the refuah, because I didn't know they know about accidents in the time of Chazal. Shabbat and refuah, mutal lulaychem yatagor, afilu shalom in achavis. You're allowed to buy it from a tagor, even not from a barrel. We said things that are stored in a barrel would never have wine in them. But you're always allowed to buy it. Afish adam if you karmi ayin. Even though pomegranate juice is more expensive than wine, so it would be profitable for him to add wine. Mishum de kivan de isbeik peida. Since, like vegans, they're kpeida, right? Here, pomegranate juice people, they have a kpeida to have only pomegranate juice in it. Loi mora nafshe. A merchant would not chance a bad reputation. Now here we're talking by dinei cheshash yayin nesach, which is a drabanan. The Ramah is v'chein kol davar shekayin minu uman d'loy mara nafshe. It's not only a yayin nesach dik a din. It's a din in kol davar in anything that you buy from an uman that we have an umdana that loy mara nafshe. And mimele we have here an extraordinary chiddush that you're allowed to rely on an uman loy mara nafshe. And we should establish a rule that people are reliable. Yeah. There's a catch. There are a few questions to this kula. One question is when it says that pomegranate juice is sold to refuah as a medication, it's a very big difference to someone who sells a medication and is caught diluting it. And someone who sells a food and is caught diluting it. If you sell a medication and you're caught diluting it, it's a much bigger scandal than if you just sell a drink and you have an ingredient in it that you're caught diluting it. So the question is, in this kula, is only because it's a medication, or it's in all cases. What? It's a strong, I guess, a strong kapada. Strong kapada. What? By the wine, we said you could rely on umdina. Oh, you mean, but if there's no umdina, people are not makrid. Okay, but there we didn't say lamara nafshe. Here we say people are not makrid. We said if it's profitable to put in wine, they'll put in wine. People are not so makrid. And the way Mishnah Berurah brings this halacha in the Hilchisitzis and Siman Chaf, which is the Makar in the Gemara. Okay, Makar in the Gemara talks about buying a talis. Mitsuyetzes, a talis with tzitzis on it from a guy. Could you rely that the guy would only put on proper strings? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Chaf,
you can't rely that the guy puts strings on. You have to rely
that the strings are kosher strings. You're buying a talis with strings on it. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Alekeach talis mitsuyetzes, mi Yisrael oi mitagor eini Yehudi. Kosher, kiven the tagaru chazaka shlochem Yisrael lo lamar nafshe. If you stop a guy, he's not believed. But if you have a company, so the chazaka is that he bought it from a Jew, and the tzitzisah to a made lishma, and therefore it's mutol lamar nafshe. Now here it's not a medicine, right? If you're going to say we're talking only about yayin remainder, which is a medication, here you're buying a talis. So the scandal is a much smaller scandal.
But the point is that's
because people are makbid. Well, it's the same thing. Anytime you have a letter from a guy, yeah, it has to be people care. The question is, people care for kashrus? You don't think it's enough? If you write a letter, you care for kashrus. I will see in a minute what you're saying. Maybe you write anyway. Mishnah Berurah. I'm going to rub dafka gabe talis mitzuyetzes babin eloi shein derech tachin lifle tzitzis bebigda. It's not usual for a guy to stick the tzitzis on a beggar. I will lift those tzitzis, but to buy the strings osir af mitaga shem eloi hoya hatfiya vashazira lishma chepos egataz. So the Taz says that you can't rely on laimara nafshe all the time, only with a tziruf of something that a guy wouldn't normally have. He says, V'yesh makilin. Now, yesh makilin is not a small fry. It's a magen of ramen de gra. V'yesh makilin b'zeh. V'ayim bar, v'artzei sachayim yishuus yakim yiskimu hecha da'osa katagar hu litnai tzitzis mi'yisrael v'lim kar muta mitagar. If it's something that's a major income for the guy, then you could rely on it. Because if the guy is just, he has a, you know, a John's Bargain Store and he's selling a bunch of things, this is one small item, so he can't rely on it. But if it's one of his major items that he buys and sells, that you could rely. So here we have a psak, a kula, limiting it a little bit, but not very much. So the question is, where we go from here? What? Yeah, the guy can wrap it in the bag too. If it has a hechsher, it has a hechsher, then you're right. But I think chen kol davar means don't think it's only ayin nesach. It seems to be everything that has this chazakah lemara nafshe. Not only, perhaps that's what he means. Maybe he means that. Okay, so Rav Moshe has a number of truths. This is obviously something more prevalent today than before mass production. Before mass production, you weren't able to, find out for the whole country about certain products. You had your local cargo and you found out.
There's really a flip side, because you want him kind of this way. So maybe that's part of his appeal.
Probably, being the kind of mitzvah and not eating treifus. Not eating treifus and mekayim mitzvah is probably the same rules. They're both for you. What's worse, an aveira or a mitzvah? I don't know.
Take consideration that type of medicine is a mutuya. People get medicine work. If it's diluted versus tzitzis, wait, this might be forever.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that pomegranate juice has is avida l'guya. You know, it's not like antibiotics, especially back 500 years ago. I'm not sure. All right, there's a rather famous tshuva in the first Igros Moshe. It was written in 1955 in the beginning of the Hechsherim proliferation here in the United States. And really, Hechsherim proliferated, whatever it is, they spread in America more than ever in our history. There's never such a thing that in a country of 340 million people, you got 1 million people care about kashrus, that you have so many products with a hechsher. It's just absolutely incredible. The Rav Moshe was asked about relying on a letter from a company. The name of the tshuva is Be'in Amanas HaFactories B'Ksava, where the companies are believed in the letter they write. Now it's a 3-page tshuva, Nigris Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Yerdeya Aleph, tshuva Nun Hei. And many people flip to the end of the tshuva. Rav Moshe has a style of summing up his psak halacha. The last paragraph is 2.5 lines long. It says Akoponim Ledina Sadak Kavaidai, you are right, Shesh Lismaich Aksav, you can rely on your letter, Sheshivoloy Mea Factory, Shunasa Rak Mishuman Vegetable, Yesh Lahatir. Rely on the letter you got that it's made from vegetable oil, and that's enough to be matir at the product. So it comes out from here, a wonderful, you know, you got to go anywhere. You don't have to have people check the plant. You just sit at home, and you do emails, and you get hechsherim, and you get kashrus from all the plants. Now, unfortunately, many people, even people who should know better, have just read the end of the tshuva, and there are people who rely on it, and they say it this way. However, the key is to read the shaiva before you read the tshuva. It's nice to read the tshuva without reading a shaila. The shaila is written to Rav Grubner in Detroit, and the shaila is posed in the following case. Risi is divrei kavaydai, asheherach levar lahalacha. That the shayel held the dina, sheyesh lahamin leminale factories, v'mashakaisu sheyesin rak mishuman shenasim vegetable, kadaima, they could trust them, mekamatamin. With the tziref of the following reasons. Number one, mitam uman leimara nafshe, that the uman is not going to, which is ahalacha. Number two, mitam avida legluye. And number two, that it's something that will be revealed. Eventually someone will go down and check. As some of you said, but that is that they're afraid to be fined by the government. And the fourth, which is the important one, that letter was written the guy didn't respond to a question about whether it's kosher or not. The person wrote him a letter saying that there is someone who's ill, for whom it's dangerous to have animal oil. And that was the shaila that they wrote. And to that they responded. So Ramesh is not matir if you write them a letter, listen, tell me if it's kosher. If it's not kosher, we're not buying it. And if it's kosher, we're buying it. So to that, Rav Moshe was not asked. That's not what the tshuva is about. The tshuva is about somebody who's like what we call Masiach Lefitumai. The guy is not saying it's kosher because it's kosher. He's saying it because of a chayla, which I imagine is much more serious in the eye of the government as well. Maybe so different. It's also not nogeat. How many people is it nogeat? If someone who's allergic to animal oil can't use it, so okay, you're going to cut out a small percentage.
I mean, that's a numerical percentage. If you have this, I don't know the numbers. If 1% of that product is not in that ingredient, it's considered 100% ingredient.
It's bottle?
What we call
in the mixture, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's bottle in the mixture, then it would be okay. Now we would also, they would also, we have a rule that treifus is batel b'shishim. So it's batel b'shishim. We're talking about ayma v'alas l'chadchila, it's a good question. But anyway, this is the the way the Shiloh was asked. So we'll talk about it. I want to talk about it now. It's going to confuse everything. I do want to discuss it. But this is the tshuva. Now, if you learn Hilchis Taruvis, you learn Chelek Aleph, right in the beginning, it's Simen Tzadiches, the first Simen in Hilchis Taruvis. It talks about giving a guy to taste a mixture. You have meat that fell into trefa meat that fell into vegetable soup. You don't know if it's batel b'shishim. So it says you give it to an uman, you give it to a chef, a kfela, to taste it, and leimara nafshei. There also, it's only muta mesiach lefitumai. There, it's not talking, you're telling him, look, we're not going to eat it if you can taste the trefis. It's talking mesiach lefitumai, that you ask him, do you think meat was added to this or not? And even there, the shach is matmiya. The shach says, since when do you trust the guy mesiach lefitumai for deraisa? The din that you trust the guy mesiach lefitumai is only by derabanan. If you owe tam kikah derabanan. But we owe tam kikah deraisa, he's matmiya. And he says it's a milsa David de l'gluye, because the guy tells you there's no meat taste, and you'll eat it, and you'll taste the meat, you'll catch him. So it's only about the Mesiel Vitumai by Drabanan, where you'll catch him. So, yeah. Usually, someone in the business knows. Someone in the business is like, yes, Parnasa. They know this kosher and it's not kosher. What? I think certainly non-Jews in the world know there's a concept of kosher and non-kosher. Whether they know vegetables are kosher and animals are not, I'm not sure. But apparently that's the assumption. And look, Lamaisa, that's the tshuva digris maisha. And that's in Simen Tzadiches Sif Aleph. There is such a din of a guy being having an amonis, leimara nafshei. But Rabbi Shah says that it has to be that he's asked for other reasons. The Magen Avraham in Sivkat in Pesachei Tshuva Dalet says this simon is talking that the Yayin remind him is for refuah. Presumably the same thing, that if it's refuah, he's answering the question if it's good for refuah or not good for refuah. So this is one tshuva in Digris Maisha. Now, what?
It's true that everyone can get sued,
but okay, that could be. I can't answer you. Now there are a couple of more tshuvas in the Gris Maisha that are that indicate what he means in tshuva nun in Chelek Aleph Yeridaya, a tshuva I believe that was written later. He talks about Nemanis of a company that there's no grape juice in a product. And there it's also in the Rabbanan, which is similar to us. He says he's Neman Mesiach Lefituma. He says the same thing, that the company has to be Mesiach Lefituma in order to be believed. Now here, there's a kasha. In another tshuva of Ramesha, which we discussed, the third tshuva, Ramesha had said that by tuna fish, you need a Mashgiach Tmini. So the question is, why do you need a Mashgiach Tamidi? If a Uman Leimara Nafshei, if you can rely that the Uman is Leimara Nafshei, he certainly doesn't want to put other fish into tuna fish. So why don't you rely on a letter from them? They label it 100% tuna. Well, dolphin means something else. There's nobody puts dolphins in. Even the Mashgiach can tell the difference between a dolphin and a tuna fish. They're dolphin free just means that their nets don't catch dolphins. It doesn't mean that they don't put dolphin meat into the tuna fish. What? I can't answer. The thing is, this question was asked to Rabbi Shem himself. So Rabbi Shem was asked, it's just theory. In one place you say you can rely on letters, and in one place you say you can't rely on letters. So in another tshuva, which is printed in Chelek Dalet Tshuva Aleph of Yeridaya, Ramesha says, Chas v'shalom loy mekein, shepsokim seisrin ze'ezeh. You write to a tshuva, and if you have a steer mugging up Rahman, I don't know if you write Chas v'Shalom Loibekeim. But if he has his own tshuvas, he writes Chas v'Shalom Loibekeim. You think my two tshuvas are a steer? He says no. The heter, one of the conditions of the heter was Avida Legluye. So he says a fish, which in a machine is niklaf in a second, when it runs down the belt, if they pull it off or don't pull it off, it's a 1 second difference. It's niklaf and mehiras. So it's not really shayach to go in and catch them. Mishkiach comes, and I'll pull out the fish. Mishkiach doesn't come, they won't pull out the fish. So he says, Mishkiach to me. It's not like a plant where they have a warehouse where they store all their ingredients, and they use the ingredients to make potato chips. So they have lots of oil. That oil is either vegetable oil or not vegetable oil. So there it's a little gluya. You can walk in and catch it. But when boats come with fish, you really can't catch the person removing a fish. Not removing a fish, right? By tasting, it's avida legluya. By tuna fish, also. I don't know what the metzias is. Can you taste? I don't know. You could taste. No, there's no dolphin meat in tuna fish. The question is this tray for fish, non-kosher fish.
Huge amounts in one.
I can't answer you. What?
In any one batch, there's much more tuna fish than there is that tray.
I can't answer you. And Ramesh is obviously chayshish for more than a 60th in the mixture. What? Masech Vitumai. No, because then by the tuna fish you should get the Masech Vitumai also. I think Echatimsa Masech Vitumai. I think that's what he means, because that's the case that we have there in Shulchan Aruch and the Hinnom Agadah Rav. It was chopped up. It's chopped up. Yeah, the guy, so it should be good. What? What? Send it to a lab. I have no idea what the amount of other fish could possibly be. I don't know. You know, we once had a problem. Rabbi Yitzchak Kisby was still alive, so it goes back many, many years ago. There was a problem with the filleted flounder. There was filleted flounder coming from a place with a hechsher that was not reliable. At that time, there were Weiss's restaurant, Er Lechayid, who owned it, and we went into him. Rabbi Isby, myself, and Rabbi Ginsburg, the three of us went in Yibad L'Chaim to ask him to stop buying from this. You know, he's a chassidishi, and everyone assumes everything is kosher. He didn't have much of a hechsher, and people relied on him. And we wanted to show him that the flounder that came from this person that was caught numerous times, not by the hechsherim, by the government, putting in things that trade for fillets in the place of kosher fillets. And so he went to him. So he said, I want to tell you a secret. The flounder that I get from the kosher sources, most of it is not flounder. That's what he told me. Most of it is not flounder. He's told me customers don't like fishy fish. It's funny. They like fish, but they don't want the fish to be fishy. And real flounder is not fishy. And they put in a cheaper fish. They mix it in with the flounder. And the customers don't like it. It's a fishier tasting fish. That's why it's a cheaper fish. If you like fish, why do you want it not to be fishy? I don't understand exactly. But that's what he told us. So he told us, Pemole, like it's known, you buy flounder, it's not Baltimore Shishim. A lot of the flounder is not flounder. That's what he told us at the time. He even told us which fish it was. So I don't remember the names. But he said that's why he has a hard time buying from the sources that we wanted him to buy from at that time. So we're sitting here in a chair. I don't know the industry. I don't know anything that goes on in the industry. And we're assuming that it can't happen. I don't know about tuna. You know, maybe he knows better about tuna. He's shackles to the business. But I can tell you by flounder, like you assume it says 100% flounder. It's 100% flounder. It's not. The people in the business tell us that it's not. So I don't know. I can't be mighty laws on all the... and everything, but I can tell you one thing: if you buy filet flounder, make sure it's a Mishkiach Tamidi, because apparently it's known that flounder is expensive and they put in cheaper fish in its place. So So I'm just telling you a maisa that happened maybe 20 years ago, but
they might have a different problem also with the tuna, the official problem.
It's a totally separate issue. It has nothing to do with the tshuva. Moshe's prayer, and the tshuva of Moshe doesn't talk about that, he talks about it. Okay. It's a very good question. Rav Moshe is reading this Rabbi Grubner's original letter in which he was mitzarif four things. Now, a couple of them really go together because umalei maranafshe and being fined by the government probably goes together. Now, avida legluye doesn't go together. That's what Rav Moshe is saying. By the tuna fish, you can't catch him, and it's different. So I don't know. I need another tshuva. So here I have another tshuva. Moshe writes this this guideline that you have to be able to catch him. If it doesn't help otherwise, the umdin of umen leimaranash. There's one more raya that leimaranashay is not enough on its own. Later in Hilchas Shatnez, in Simin Shin Beis, Sif Aleph, it says the following. Let's say you go to a tailor and you have woolen pants, and the tailor has to make certain alterations to your clothing. I was going to say renovations, but I guess it depends how big you are. But you make alterations to your pants, so he's going to use thread. Now you're afraid he's going to use linen thread. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you go in to him and you give him cannabis thread, you give him the non-shatnez thread. So if you give a non-shatnez thread, the Ramah says it's mutter, and the Shach there says, in Sifkat and Dalid, loy mara nafshei. Uma loy mara nafshei. You're giving him which thread to use, he's not going to use linen thread. So the question is that what are you talking about? I thought loy mara nafshei, it should be enough. He gives you a letter that I didn't use linen thread. Why do you have to bring him canvas thread to use? Let him just certify for you that he didn't use linen. So Rav Shlomo Eger on the side is the kasha, and he tzeichen su that over here to our simon that by yayin reminim people are more makbid because it's a refuah, and over there people are less makbid. I don't know, shatnez people should makbid also, but apparently there's less of a fear that people are makbid. The point is that there it says uman loymara nafshei. And it says you have to bring the good thread to the tailor. You can't just rely that the tailor uses it. So it seems clear that the loy mara nafshei by itself is not adequate. Okay, there's a shava deraisa. Yeah, you remind him is a shava derabanan. Some of our shalas are derabanan. The bottom line is that this great kula of umen loy mara nafshei is limited. It's got to be set up in the right way. And there's a fifth tshuva from Rav Moshe, in which he says that even if you rely on umdinism and lemara nafshe, you can't give a heksher based on it. You can eat it based on that, but a heksher means that you check it. People assume that as a heksher, you look into it. You can't give a heksher that way. So I don't know. I don't know what they do with the granulated sugar, the domino granulated sugar. May they do it? I guess they go to the plant a couple times a year. But sugar is sugar. There's no. Maybe things will change, but. You have to make sure they don't use it. If it's a woolen baguette, you have to make sure they don't use linen threads.
Polyester is okay. Much cheaper. They don't use linen.
I know. When I go to the Shatnez fellow, he looks at the buttons and he wants to make sure. So apparently, if you go to a non-Jewish tailor, you have to make sure that that he doesn't use linen. That's all.
We have the show and tell with the
Shaknis.
Yeah,
with the Shaknis. He said the Talasim was fixing the Talasim with. Yeah, he said the Talasim had. Imagine Talasim. So. Okay. What was it? That Taurus was sewn on with linen. And it's for Sechav Yitumai. Sechav Yitumai, Avi Lugli, Yikaralai, certainly by Durbanon. That's the Shak and Sadiches. And if it's Leimar and Ashe, then even Mederaisa. Right, the inside of Ches is no Lomar Anafshe. I mean, there is a Lomar Anafshe, but that's not the main reason. Over here, the, by Lomar Anafshe, it sounds like you could do it by their eyes as well. That's the Shach says. Shach is talking about their eyes. No, by a Drabana, you're allowed to rely on the Gleim Masech Lefi Tumai, period. If you tell him that someone's sick and he's allergic to it, and he answers, that's Masech Lefi Tumai. Okay, means he's not talking about kashrus. If you're schmoozing with him and asking him what his suppliers are, it might be also. Although today people are a little protective, many people in the who produce products are a little protective of their sort of secrets of how they make things and trade secrets. Okay, so that's if hey. So dalin hey, dalin you can rely on umdina. Hey, at least in certain situations you can rely on the umon lebar and afshe, which is an important din. We'll talk about eimav al nislachatchil in a moment. Lesser sivav. Sivav tzarech li zar v'livdek v'lachkar. A person has to carefully examine and check b'sheichar u'mashke shal dvash shoyserav yekachavim achshav. Nowadays, when you buy stuff from a non-Jewish source, it's nice to behem shmarim shal yayin. Now, if they put in some sediment of wine into the product. Ramavim darkly to men shmarim osliktais behem imein b'mashke shishim in hashmarim. And if they do put it in, you need shishim. The Taz again says shisha because his shita is again that wine and water is bottle 1 and 6. Wine and shar mashkim, the Taz and Shach hold is bottle 1 and 6 also. The Ramavim holds you need shishim. For who dolay avid latame. That's if it's not made for taste. If it gives taste, then we don't measure by how much is in it. We assume 1 in 60 is good, but otherwise it's fine. So here this is a relatively easy simon. He's just sort of warning you about what's going on in the industry, then at least in his days, that they put in wine sediment. It's the lavdafka sediment. There's something called Weinstein, which is the Weinstein name comes from Weinstein. Weinstein is a business of scraping the insides of wine barrels. When you put wine to stand for a long time, the grape juice to turn to wine, the sides of the wine barrels get sediment settles on it. It gets sort of a thick coating. And from that, different products are made today as well. And those products are wine derivatives. And they're put into different things, and those things have to have a proper hechsher. The question here is the question that you've asked previously about emavat l'nis l'chatchila. Let's say a guy puts it in. It seems that shmarim will put in to be a maimid. One of the mafarshim here on the side say that it's put in as a maimid. The Pesachei Tshuva Hey, Aval Iika Shishim Shari Afagav the Davar Amaymid Asim Bchalshu Shmarim LeDikra Maymid. So there are other reasons that they put it in, not Afkat Giftes and Abatlech B'Shishim, and they put it in. I don't know for consistency or something to do with the texture, perhaps, but not the taste. Maymid means that it helps it change. A maimid is something like putting yeast into dough. A davar maimid is something that causes certain changes to take place in it. So, like when they put in enzymes in different catalysts. So maimid is chashuv, so it's not bottle. So he says here it's not really a maimid. Now what the metzias of shvarim is, I don't know, but that's what it says. And my point is that they apparently do put it in less than 60th. They have reason to.
Is Shach and Tav concerned about Tav? Because in Shisha, there is Tav, and you're not
Tav. Yes, so there is a problem. There is no problem of Tav. If you hold wine as bottle 1 and 6, it means it's wine that's also midrabanan. yayin, if you knew it was misasach l'avodah zarah, it's also. But if you have stam yeinam is only because of the chashivas of yayin, and therefore in water it's bottle 1 and 6. And shachintaz hold that's only true in water, it's not true in sharmashkim. So then it falls back in sharmashkim to all the regular rules of echa b'shishin. But in water it's echa b'shishin. Ramah holds that even in sharmashkim, it's also bottle echa b'shishin. So what does that mean? It makes it. You mean fermentation, yeah? Because sisa is usually used for fermentation. Yeah, they're bubbling. Sisa means bubbling. Yeah. But it's not the taste of the shvarim. It's the wine itself or the product itself changes. Yeah. Taste of the thing itself. That's not nicker. Yeah, usually imamid is what they call a catalyst or something that adds enzymes to it that make a change. Now, the question of emavatlanis lechatchila. So someone said it's a guy, you're buying it from a guy. You guys allowed to be mevatl. It's true. You guys allowed to be mevatlanis lechatchila. Problem is, there's a gzeira by emavatlanis lechatchila that lemisha nisbatl b'shvilai. If you're mevatel for someone, that person is not allowed to eat it. And if a guy deliberately is mevatel iser to sell to a Jew, it would seem it's awesome. Shulchan Aruch itself is not clear. Shulchan Aruch talks about a Jew is mevatel is lachatchila. They made a class that he can't use it. And Lemishan is batel b'shvilai, the Taz says is like him himself. Ramashin is numerous chuvis on the topic of blended whiskies. And one of the tshuvas, he was asked that it should be a knas since eim avat l'nis l'chatchila, and they're putting the wine into the assuming they're putting wine or
one and six.
So Ramesha talks about whether you can rely on the 1 and 6. Assuming you can rely on the 1 and 6, so I eim avat l'nis l'chatchila. So Ramesha makes his calculation there, which is technically accurate, like a lot of things Ramesha says. Technically accurate, but you know, some in the Chassidus Shevelt, like you know, they say the Satmar Rebbe told someone who was said, "I'm going to go to Ramosha complain." He said, "What happens if he talks to you in learning?" So I'll tell you what Ramosha writes. It's technically accurate, but you can see it's a little rubs you a little. Ramosha says the following. He says that blended whiskey they're putting in wine, they're putting in vanis lechatchila. It should be also for the customer. So Ramosha says if the whiskey is made for a Jewish customer base, you're right, it's aser. If you make whiskey for the Jews, it's aser for them. He says, however, despite the fact that some Jews who drink at Kiddush think that they're big wine whiskey drinkers, he says Jews are really not such big whiskey drinkers. You know, you look at the Polacks and the Irish, they know how to drink. So, rive of the whiskey is definitely not for Jewish customers. So, Ramesha makes the following. Listen to his cheshvan. He says, let's say they make 10,000 bottles a week or a day, whatever. They make 10,000 bottles of whiskey. And if about this lechatchila, let's say Jews buy 10%. So, Ramesha says, when they put wine, 10% of the bottles are treif. You're not allowed to buy. In other words, they're making 10,000 bottles. 9,000 for Goyim, 1,000 for they're doing it for the customer base. The customer base includes 10% Jews. He says 1,000 bottles are Aser and 9,000 bottles are Mutter. When you go to the store and buy, who says if you're buying from the 1,000 or the 9,000? Right? They made 1,000 bottles for the Jew, and I thought they didn't label this is for the Jew and this is for the guy. There's a rule by Nisa Durabanan that we say Brera Lakula. The sugi and shas of Yesh Breira and Breira by deraisis were machmer on Breira. Breira means that retroactively you designate if the Jew bought it, that's the one that was made for him. But this is Isid Rabbana. By Isid Rabbana, we make a lot Breira. So therefore, it's taka true. When the guy makes 10,000 bottles and his customer base includes 10% Jews, so 10% of the bottles are for Jews and 90% are for Goyim. That 10% of the bottles are awesome. When you go to the store, you could rely that you're buying from the other 90% that were made for Goyim. Since it was made for Goyim, so therefore there's no knas. And what's made for a guy, you got your life about a little chatchila wine for a guy, and then mainly you're allowed to buy it.
No, this is about tuna fish.
I'm talking now about wine. I'm talking about the din of aim of battle in Isla Chatchila, where it's bottle. In a case where it's bottle, you're allowed to buy the blended whiskies because the bittel is not made exclusively for Jews, it's made for Jews and Goyim. Now, somebody might say, what are you talking about? They don't label Jew and guy. Whatever the Jew buys is made for the Jew. Whatever the guy buys is made for the guy. The Moshe says there's no halachic basis for that. No halachic basis to assume that what you bought was made for you. And therefore, Rav Moshe holds that there's any time a product is made for roiv non-Jews, and the isser that you're talking about is innocent derabanan, so there's no knas of vei mevalenis lechatchila in such a situation. So that's Rav Moshe's psak.
It's
what?
Because
of the things are not bottled. Yeah, Ramesh is not really saying bittel. Ramesh is saying breira. He's saying, well, make a lambreira, you could assume you bought one that was made not for the Jew, it was made for the God. That's what he's saying. There's no kashrus symbol. You know, you can't put a kashrus. It's not there's a kashrus symbol. We're assuming that we understand what blended whiskies are made of. Blended whiskies today are not made with a heksher. People buy it based on the home dinner that it's kosher. So if you know that this is what they eat, this is the. So this is Rav Moshe's kula. And yeah.
Yeah. So they could not buy anything that has encapsulated or something in it. Because it's
rice. So the Machdah then calls the rice. Well, Chavakim
is the Rabbanan.
That pod is Chalavakim is a Drabanan.
They're there.
Oh, today, Treifa, you mean, but I mentioned that Shash Treifa. Chalavakim is a Drabanan, Otto Adaraisa. Yeah, it's Otto Adaraisa. But still Drabanan. Still Drabanan. Now, I mentioned that the milk today has a shail of Treifas. However, that's also Drabanan, because Minat Torah. Mim b'mina is batal b'raiv. Milk of a treifa, milk of a ksheira, minatayra, milk and milk, it's mim b'mina lach b'lach, is batal b'raiv. And certainly, raiv of the animals don't have this surgery. So, but midrabanan, mim b'mina lach b'lach nishishin. So the whole discussion is a discussion of innocent Rabbanon. Still, we're you know, orthodox. We are makbid on the Rabbanon. But
the component is only a small component.
Well, there's no din of Eimav Anlis L'chatchila. The problem with the milk, a little milk in a chocolate bar. So if it's bottle, but you see the difference is by wine it's bottle in six, so it's bottle. Milk, if it's added for taste, is not bottle. That's the problem. If it would be, you know, if it would be a bottle, the shavim vasel chetchila, you'd have a heter. The problem is that there when it's avid l'taima, it's not something that's bottle.
Come to Rabbi Yehli Reisman's shiur on Wednesday to find out more about it.
Chalavakim, okay. Eimav alis chetchila applies to drabana. Maybe not like the mechaber. I don't remember, but like the ramah, yes, yeah, applies to drabana too. Okay, Siv Zayin, if you'll turn the page. Siv Zayin at least looks like an easy Sif. It's such an easy Sif that it's hard to know why the Shulchan Aruch wrote it. Shemen v'dvash, shalei v'kechavim, mutarim. You're allowed to buy oil and honey, or I say oil or honey, of a guy. Ve'inam nesarim v'shem b'shulei akum. Honey is honey. You know, there's no tray for honey. So you're allowed to buy honey. You're allowed to buy oil. It's before animal oil. You're allowed to buy, olive oil or honey of a guy. Veinim nesar mishum bishul ayakum. There's no bishul akum. Why not? Look in Tazayin. Mishum bishula yevik echavim sharinachu kabay shulchai. Honey doesn't need to be cooked. V'loy mishum giula yakum. You should be chayshish that it's treifa kalim. Giula means a blia of a treifus. Haydu plitzis haklimi isishah yevay. Why not? Bimnei sheha basar paygim es hashemen v'chein devash. You hear this? Meat gives oil or honey a bad taste. I am a simakuf kibbol. Siftah mashsafti shan. You hear this? Wine gives oil and honey. That gives honey a bad taste. I can understand. Meat. I'm sorry. Meat. Meat gives a bad taste to oil. Don't people eat the fried meat all the time? No.
When you buy it, you want it to be pure. When you buy
what?
It.
People don't have fried. No, they have fried schnitzel. They're not fried burgers or fried. So then, what does it mean that oil and meat gives a bad taste?
When you purchase it, you expect it to be lower without anything
added to it. I mean, the oil. The meat gets better, but the oil doesn't get better. Okay, that's a good answer. So the answer is that you're not buying the meat; you're buying the oil. Oil that has a meat taste. Not good oil. I guess it's good to use for meat, but it's not good to use for other things. That's one reason. A second reason. Here's something you know it's a ben yaiman. Of a stab kalim, I mean a shade of ben yaiman. If you go to your guy, your neighbor, stab kalim and not ben yaiman. So look what it says in Shulchan Aruch, getting back to Shulchan Aruch. Shemun advashim chavim mutarim. Veinasar bishum bishulayakum. Veloy bishum giulayakum. Who I did lemayim chamin shalem. You can go buy hot water from a guy. You go to a guy's house and he offers you a tea. So he gives you a cup of hot water. So you're allowed to use the hot water of a guy. Well, what does that mean? What? It's not chavim shulchai. It's no bishulakum. What about his keli? Maybe treif. What about his keli? So I guess that keli made of ben yaiman. So if you know it's a ben yaiman, it doesn't help. So let's see shach yod aleph.
What does the word
giul
mean?
Blias. Giul means spoiled, right? Maguol. This is something not desirable. Sif yod aleph in the shach. You're allowed to buy water from a guy. A guy cooked water, of course, cold water, but cooked water. You don't have to worry that the guy's keli is treif. Fats gives water a bad taste. So you go to a roadside stop and you buy hot water from a kettle, even if the kettle was used ben yaimai, it's mutter. Do ashuma paigim emayim. That's the Levush Shita. Terezov is the Levush. V'teima, the Vane Shuma Mashbiach B'mayim. You ever heard such a machlaikis? Does fatty taste improve water or not? The Levush said it gives it a bad taste. V'teima, the Shach says, Vane Shuma Mashbiach B'mayim. Zodav HaShachush Meir Olav. Just taste the water when it's got some meat fat in it. It's delicious. Chedah B'duchti Tuba B'paiskim. V'mayim B'tshuva Sarash. Zay Peregit Anasha. Shekasu shav lehedya, the lepirish of Ben Rafaim nicha mashetziv satira lahagol kli midyan bnei yaiman. The Torah said do hagola on keli midyan bnei yaiman. V'lo ein b'mayim shisha kedegdan. How can you do hagola on a pot? There's no shishim kedegin it. Hamayim dasin avela. Teretz is that the teretz is that it's that. Well, again. No, but he's saying it's not. The Taz said Shum is pagan. And he said that it gives a good taste. So I guess he means with this he could understand the Kasha. Amad afiluch b'mayim b'klish avikham ben yoyme asur. He's bringing it right from the Kasha. The Kasha was, how can you Kasha the pots of clay minyan? The blia, it makes the water that's an avela. So we see that the bli of a keli does make it as an avela. Yeah, we say there's never shishim in a pot against its walls. So we have an umdana, there's never shishim in a pot against its walls. He has a clip of his walls, there is, but against the whole wall, not. Chemuch lehedya b'divrei haram, perik evo megalchin, perik evo megalchin, 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 evo megalchin No, not like the Lavush. You know why here it's Mutter? There's a tremendous nafkamina here. Like the Lavush, because Shuman is Paikim in water. Like the Shah, because it's Eda Bin Ayayman. Nafkamina is when you go to a diner, or you go to a roadside stop where they have Kalim that are Bin Ayayman. Now, are they B'nai Yayman? If they're heating up water in a kettle, like the olden days, certainly it's B'nai Yayman. Today, where they have hot water urns, so the shaila is whether they wash out the hot water urns with trefa sponges, with trefa, with water that they're washing trefas in. So I don't know, do they wash out these things on a daily basis? I doubt it. They don't wash it at all. Well, even that, even a coffee urns really don't need to be washed all the time. And what?
They wash it out every day in the morning.
I'm not so sure. What? Yeah. So
the question
of Starbucks. Those who ask it is that they wash the tray that they put the. They put the grounds in that they wash them with trefa sponges. That's their problem. Now, using soap to be pagum, soap is pagum what comes out. But it's not pagum what remained in the wall. Because you can't kasher a keli by using soap. You can do hagola on a keli by putting in bleach, like I mentioned. Because hagola, everything comes out and it's pagum. But stand by washing, you can't rely on the soap being pagan. So, although you really could rely, actually, I take that back. If the keli is kosher, and you're afraid you're putting in trefus from a sponge, if that trefus is soapy, it would taka be mutter. If it's soapy, it would taka be mutter. I'm not sure what the Matzias Hadvarim is that the Chayshish for, right? So once it's soapy, it's it'd be okay. So, I don't know. According to Lavush, you have a great kula. He says that Basar is Paigim the Mayim. The Taz says, what do you see from there what the Taz says about Mayim? What? The Taz is talking about Yayin and Dvash. And we're talking now about Mayim. And Yayin and Dvash is Paigim. Does he say Mayim? She has Shemin, I understand. I'm talking about Mayim now. It's Paigim Shemin. Okay. Next week, Yitzhak Hashem, will continue. Hanukkah and Yitzhak Hashem will continue. Probably a few minutes later, because it's not that much. Oh, it's Rosh Chodesh Sunday. So next week, 9 o'clock, we make up Shara 9 o'clock.